What up, it's Spence Lee. Catch me on the next episode of Bodega Talks.
Yeah, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to Bodega Talks. It's your boy, Black Zini, and on this episode, we're with Spence Lee, a rising star out of Somerset, New Jersey, whose triple threat talents, story, and work ethic has brought him in the limelight with rising indie labels, 88 Rising, and Ear Drummers. Growing up studying the art of music as well as fashion, Spence would go from styling for Ray Shremmerd to being in the studio with Mike Will Made It and traveling across Asia with 88 Rising. He would drop projects like Upfall and 1012 with songs like Arriba, Write My Name, Nothing to Lose, and his newest song, White Tea. Mastering the five pillars, filled with creativity and a message to spread, Spence Lee keeps it genuine with every intent to spread the culture his own way.
What's good, bro?
What up, bro?
How's everything?
Good, how are you?
Chilling.
Yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you for coming, man. I appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you for having me, bro.
You already? Yes, yeah. What's good, everybody? Welcome back to Bodega Talks. It's your boy, Black Zini. We're in Soho today with Somerset, New Jersey's very own Spence Lee.
Spence Lee, what up? Yeah, yeah.
All right, man. Tell the people a little bit about yourself.
I'm an artist, born and raised in Franklin, New Jersey, Somerset County, exit 9. I make music, make clothes, I'm a visual artist, I paint a little bit. But just I'm an all-around artist, visionary, creative, and yeah, that's basically what I do.
Feeling that.
I'm Vietnamese, so, I'm Chinese, you know, Asian, very rare.
Vietnamese and Chinese.
Yeah, Vietnamese, Chinese.
How's that, mom's
Vietnamese, so she's a war refugee from Vietnam. You know, she came over here in like the 70s. 80s, grew up in New York, Washington Heights. My dad is first generation Chinese from Brooklyn, born and raised in Brooklyn.
That's
so, yeah, my family is from New York.
What brought y'all to Somerset?
I think they was done with the city life and they wanted to move, because I got an older brother, older sister too, they just wanted to move the family to like somewhere where it's more just like calm.
A little calmer. I feel that. Nah, respect for me. I lived in Long Island, so it's pretty chill out there.
Yeah, Long Island calm too.
Yeah.
I mean, it get wild where I was at.
Sure
it get wild in Long Island
there's
too.
There's always so. The spots, but it's like,
but it's, you know,
you
got
to drive to get there, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You can't just walk down the block and be there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a balance.
All right, so Somerset, Jersey. Obviously, Jersey has whole bunch of different sounds. What would you describe yours as?
My sound?
Yeah.
So I would describe it as like alternative hip hop. You know, like I grew up just making hip hop music and, you know, studying the greats and stuff like that. But what I lean towards is melody and harmony. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I would call it alternative because I use a lot of melodies and, you know, I try to get on beats that are unique. But at its core, it's hip hop. You know what I'm saying? I'm expressing myself, expressing my truth through means of harmony and rhythm. You know what I mean? And spirit.
Feel that?
Yeah.
Exactly. So you also said you're a clothing designer. What kind of clothes you make?
Shoot, a lot of my stuff is like DIY. So like, you know, in these very streets of Soho, I used to paint on the street and paint on clothes. And me and my boy Dominique Mills, we would just be painting and making. Making clothes from scratch, you know, and I ran into a lot of legends like, you know, Virgil and Heron, who, you know, encouraged me and gave me good like game on, you know, just being a creative and doing things when you might not have the means or the resources. And so my whole thing was making something out of nothing. So, you know, it cost me nothing to just get some paint. Do some makeshift sewing and cut and sew or whatever. So a lot of my stuff is like, paint, and I started out with bleach and stuff like that and doing designs.
Water bottle, bleach in a water bottle, you put a hole in the top.
I used to use a paintbrush with the bleach. But going back to the Jersey shit, man, shout out to Fetty Wap, shout out to Lauryn Hill, and shout out to, you know, like I said, being in Jersey, we was around a lot of melodic stuff. Mm-hmm. So that influenced my sound a great deal. When I was a little older, that's when I started taking music seriously. Like in 2014, I started, you know, getting on my shit and like, I just feel like melody has always been ingrained in like my ear and my taste level of music. So, you know, there's a lot of legends that came from Jersey, like the Fugees and shit, and I grew up on all that stuff. So, you know, gotta shout them out when we talk about Jersey.
All right, man, fuck with it. Well, we're here at the deli. This is spot right here. What is it, Soho Olive Branch?
Yeah.
You ready to get some food?
Yeah, see what we got
after
here.
After you, man.
Bet. pot.
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, man. So, as part of our show, we give the artists $20 to enjoy themselves in the deli.
Thank you, bro.
So, feel free.
Make sure you catch. I'm giving free game to the people trying to stay healthy. Gotta get the organic dried mangoes. You feel me? Gotta get you some naturally alkaline spring water. You feel me? Oh, yeah. Gotta get the organic coconut water. Get the ginger shot, too.
All right,
what you good? No, I'm good. Just good hydration.
So, how did you first come to music? Like, when did this become a thing for you?
I think
your chosen path.
Yeah, so I had many paths growing up, man. I remember
we was talking about the making clothes,
yeah,
and everything.
I had many paths. I was gonna do so much shit. You know, I thought I was gonna be a dancer, a track star. I thought I was gonna do a lot of shit. But in eighth grade, I made my first song, and I was like, man, this shit is fun. Like, and I was doing shit just for fun, music for fun. I always like Asian rapper, like in no way, you know. And then as I got older, I realized it was possible. You know, because dude from my town, Chino, he was Asian and he was like the best rapper in the town. You know, and he was moving the most work. He was doing all this shit, getting his own money, you know, at 18. And we looked up to him. He was fresh, had all the Jordans, iced out G-Shocks, all type of shit. So I was like, damn, he's actually fly. He doing this shit like in a player way. And he got killed in 2012. And then that's when I was like, all right. I always thought he was gonna be the one to, you know, be the first Asian rapper that do it the right way and, like, you know what I'm saying, just do it and he's somebody who just is on some like fly shit. And I was like, I'm gonna continue that. And you know, I also felt like I had a lot to say, and I felt like it was the best vehicle for me to like spread my message for the youths and for like just anybody who resonate with just being somebody that's unique and believing in yourself and believing in like the skills and the gifts you get from God and using them, and just who believes in that, you know, and doing it despite what other people might expect or assume about you. So, you know, so it was around 2012. And then in 2014, I met Mike Will. I met the squad, the Eardrummers, and that's what really was a sign in my life where I was like, all right, God wants me to keep going on this path, so I'm gonna keep doing it.
Fine, dope. Yeah. So you dropped White Tee, new song.
Yeah.
You spoke about being on the Yeezy show.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was it was a great experience, man. It was that's when I was doing like modeling and shit. I thought I was, you know, gonna just pursue that alongside everything, and it was dope because Virgil and Heron Preston, they actually was the ones who like got me into that shit. Like, yo, come to the casting, skip the line, blah, blah, blah. And then I walked in the room, Kanye and all them was there, and everyone stopped talking, they looked at me. They was like, oh yeah, just take pictures of him and the outfit he got on. And then I was like, I know for a fact I got the job right then, because I'm like, all the air just was, you know what I'm saying, all the air in the room was just, and then, you know, Virgil was putting me in Yeezys and all type of shit. It was surreal because, you know, I grew up looking up to these guys, like going to Fashion Night Out in Soho and seeing like paparazzi run down and chase Virgil and Kanye, like in the Rosewood era, just chasing them down the block for like 3-4 blocks. And you know what I'm saying? I remember.
Just to get that one picture.
Yeah, just to get a picture, and I'm just seeing that. And then now I'm there in the room working with these guys, and, you know, and then, you know, eventually, you know, it catapulted me into more and more opportunities. So it was a blessing.
So, you're on 88 Rising.
Yeah.
But you're also working with other people, correct?
Yeah, Mike Will.
And drummers?
Yeah, drummers. Mike Will made it.
How's that? Okay, so which came first? And do you have a preference?
What came first was, so in 2014, I met Mike Will, right? I met Mike Will and made it. And that's that's the eardrummers, right? So that came first. And when I met them, they just thought I was just doing clothes and being a fashion person, just fashion kid, Tumblr kid and shit. Mm-hmm. But they always, we got along quick and they was like, yeah, you gotta be part of the squad. Like, I fuck with your style, you know, and I was a fan of Mike Will already. I was already hip to Ray Shremmerd and, you know, their music. And eventually one day Mike was like, yo, when you gonna start making music? And I was just like, it's crazy because I'm already making music. And then I played him the shit, you know, he was like, yo, you got some shit, bro. Like, let's keep rocking. And then, you know, Mike Will is actually the one who introduced me to 88 Rising and introduced me to Sean from 88. And we had a conversation, talked about what we want to do, you know, not just as artists, but like as far as bridging the cultures. Right, because, you know, 88, they got Asia on lock. They got a lot of influence over there. But Mike Will, he got a lot of merit in America and just in music in general. So I just thought it was a dope thing for them both to be involved in my shit because, you know, Mike Will is the one who put me on to, like, being able to make a living off of music. And eardrummers and working with all those special producers really trained me as a musician and, you know, it allowed me to evolve in that sense. And in 88 Rising, they make great content. They make great videos and have great creativity and creative ideas. They put me on festivals and shit in Asia. So it's just it's a dope situation. And so I wouldn't say I have a preference, you know, both of them. It's a fun thing
it's
to fun, be a part of.
It's two different sides. Yeah. Each one has his roses.
And it's not traditional.
You know?
It's not like a traditional label where a lot of people
it's
always talk about the label.
Well.
Yeah.
I hear that.
You know, we're trying to do some new shit, so we got to formulate it in a new way.
All right, so let's talk about your song, Arriba. That's like your best song. I mean, at least most popular song.
Yeah, streaming-wise,
you know what I'm saying? I don't know what your best song would be. I'll let you answer that question, but what inspired that song?
So what inspired it? I was just making music. You know, I just be in a flow state, just cooking up, and sometimes you stumble upon, you know, great ideas. And I was just freestyling to that beat. Shout out to Resource from the Eardrummers. He had sent me the beat. I was like, damn, this shit is crazy. And I'm in the room, all the lights off. I recorded in my mom's house in my old room. So I was just vibing to the beat. And then I was freestyling to it for like 6 minutes. Or like, I had looped the beat twice. And then by the end of the last loop, I was like, a la riva. And I was like, wait, hold on. I clicked back at it. I was by myself. So I'm like, wait, that shit hard. Like, and I never intend to do this shit, but it always be like the accidental shit that become the moment of the song, you know what I'm saying?
It becomes the whole
shit. So yeah, I was like, all right, I'll move that to the front, I start the song like that, and then I just punched in from there, and then the song built itself. Mm-hmm. But that's just, you know, it was dope because these songs that I just make, I just be talking my shit on them, and like, I be saying just shit that's true, you know what I mean? Like, I know they gonna judge me off the surface, but I raise the bar like good service. You know what I'm saying? Like, just saying real shit. My life is a movie, please no talking in the theater. Like, just saying real shit. And my whole thing is just making sure that when I'm doing it, it's on some fly shit too. Cause nobody wants to hear no preaching and, you know, we all have to do this, you know what I'm saying? You should do this. Like, I'm really on some shit. This is like, this what I'm doing. If you fuck with my results and my what I got going on in my life, then this is what I'm doing. This is the codes and stuff that I'm living by. And, you know, if you want to follow along for the journey or take whatever you need to take from the swag, then that's what it is. And it's free game. So I'm just real thankful that people resonate with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this stuff, it just goes up. You know, you never know what's going to catch. You know, because I got so many different type of songs, melodic songs, and like even right now, one of the songs that's about to go past that is like a dancehall song that I got called Write My Name. Okay. And it's got like mad melodies and it's like a summer vibe. And that's like my trending right now, like my most popular song on Spotify.
So tell me about your upcoming projects. What can you tell me about it? I know some should be private until certain release dates and whatnot.
Yeah. I can tell you it's executive produced by Mike Will Made It. It's coming out under Eardrummers and 88 Rising. It's coming out first quarter next year. It's gonna have you know, a lot of the people that already are hip to my music, they all have different wants from out of me. You know what I mean? Like, they all, certain people want the vibey shit, certain people want the rap shit, certain people want the hard shit, pause. So I'm gonna give all of it, you know what I'm saying? And it's gonna be a variety of stuff. I'm gonna be touching on a lot of topics, spirituality, God, just me being an individual and overcoming doubt, overcoming fear, complete.
How many tracks?
Right now, I think it's around 12, could be 11, but.
Okay.
It might be 12, somewhere.
Any features? Plans? Yeah.
The Slim Jimmy from Ray Shremmer gonna be on there.
Okay.
And then so a couple guys, one of my guys, Kakuyan, he's like my main producer who I've been working with like my whole life, for real. One of my musical mentors, he's featured on it too. Did a lot of production on it. But yeah, other than that, it's really gonna be a thing where I showcase my versatility as a songwriter and just like my complexity of like my mind and just, you know, speaking on shit, what I see in the world and real life shit.
In the next 5 years, where do you see yourself? Like, or what do you plan on building outside of music?
Next 5 years. So I really want to establish myself as just somebody. Well, I'm going to establish myself as somebody who is like a real artist, like a revolutionary artist, somebody that people can look at and, you know, like, I feel like my specialty and what I'm realizing my superpower is like giving other people ideas. So like, people see me executing my ideas, I want that to give them an idea about themselves and feel motivated to pursue their ideas, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like just sparking people's creativity and you know, of course, every artist wants a number one album, number one song, wants to go platinum. You know, I want all of that. But above all that, in 5 years, I want people to be like, Spence Lee, like, he's one of them ones. Like, you know, it wasn't just a song or it wasn't just one hit, but it was like his albums. You know what I'm saying? His albums are good. His albums, like, got me through stuff. You know, like, that's the main thing that satisfies me when people tell me they resonate with my music. It's like, oh, you know, I get messages sometimes and people be like, yo, like somebody posted, one of my friends posted him proposing to his girl to one of my songs. and then like the next day you might have somebody be like, yo, I was going through a depression and like I was bumping this song a lot and it was helping me just, you know, get back on my shit. Or I was riding through the town and doing this, I was working out to your music. People living life to my music is the main thing that's like, you know, I always wanted that. And then also I want to get more into the health and wellness space. Cause you know, I feel like I was able to help myself a lot through like different lifestyle changes, like healthy eating and like medicinal herbs and shit like that. And I want to get into that space because I feel like I have a lot of knowledge and experience on myself, you know, like I was able to, you know, do a lot of things through diet and exercise alone. I want to help other people do that too, because I feel like that's the missing component.
That's just
in our age group, you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah,
a lot of, you know, not all of us are blessed to just be like looking young forever, you know, and a lot of that comes from like diet and exercise, health and lifestyle and shit like that. So, you know, eventually I want to help people.
All right, man. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, bro.
It's
thanks,
been a pleasure.
Thanks for the opportunity, bro.
Yo, ready? Let me know you got a show or listening or something like that.
Yeah,
definitely
sure.
Looking to pull through.
On the ground too.
Hell yeah. But yeah, bro. This is definitely a good time, man. It's not too cold out.
Yeah. I did this other joint the other day, man. I was in the interview shivering and shit, bro.
Don't worry. It happens to us too, man. I'm telling you. That shit is definitely going to be some different shit. But yeah, man, that's me.
Gotcha.
Definitely going to tap in, though.
Like Zane.
Until next time, bro.
What's up?
Thank you for being here.
Look.